Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. It is so good to be back live. Last week we had Hurricane Irma. I hope those of you in our listening area who were influenced by Hurricane Irma, either in Gainesville or here in Palm Beach and the Treasure Coast, I hope that you all survived reasonably well and that the damage was minimal and your power came back soon. For those of you on Long Island listening tonight, I hope that this storm, that Jose, doesn't impact you the way it impacted us. So I just am thrilled to be back. Of course, for the few weeks before Irma, I was also off because I was my own patient. I had spinal fusion surgery, but I am back and I'm feeling good. I have a great show tonight. I'm very excited. I'm here with Dr. David Silvers of Gardens Neurology. I'm excited to talk to him because, you know, honestly, we have so much to talk about. There is so much information to share. It's critical to your well-being. Most people don't understand the practice of neurology. They think it is either just for Alzheimer's disease or just for Parkinson's disease. But there are lots of different disciplines inside the practice of neurology, and Dr. Silvers and his practice at Gardens Neurology is an expert. And we're going to talk about so much tonight that you're not going to want to turn the dial off. So I want to take a moment before I get to Dr. Silvers. I want to take a moment to talk about the first responders during this storm. It was really quite remarkable, the effort that they did, not to mention those of FPL all of the everybody out there climbing up and down light poles in windy storms. It was really quite remarkable. I also want to spend a moment and talk about the terrible news about that skilled nursing facility in Broward County. It was truly, I don't know how else to say this, it was a tragedy. It was a terrible tragedy. But what it points out in that tragedy, and I'm not making any excuses for the administrator or for the owner of that building, what it talks about, though, or what should say to us, is that it's important that we think about how we treat our elderly in this society. And I don't care you know, where you come down on this, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're independent, a liberal, or a conservative, the fact of the matter is we need to pay better attention to our seniors who are unable to care for themselves. And I feel really strongly about that. So, again, it was exciting to see America coming together with the two disasters, Harvey and Irma. I'm really proud of what we all did to get everybody back in shape. But anyway, enough of that pontification for tonight. Now on to my guest, Dr. David Silvers. Dr. Silvers got his BA in Princeton University, graduated with honors in psychology. He got his MD at Tufts University. One of my good friends as a graduate of Tufts, and I can tell you that's a great school. He did his internship at Mount Auburn Hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he also did his residency. He did his neurology residency at Harvard Longwood Training Program in Boston, Massachusetts, and his fellowship is in electromyography, I think I said that right, and neuromuscular disease at Brown University in Rhode Island. He's on the faculty at the University of Miami, and he practices at Garden Dermatology here. Dermatology. my first mistake tonight, but I promise you not my last. And neurology. But anyway, welcome to the show, Dr. Silvers. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. Just want to say thanks for giving me the opportunity to be on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, I think one of the first questions, and I wouldn't have thought of asking it if you hadn't come to me with the same thing, is there a difference in practicing here in Florida? Because you practiced for so long up north. Is there a difference in practicing here in Florida than there was in Connecticut or elsewhere up north?
As you might imagine, there are huge differences between practicing up north, practicing in Florida. Just to create a little bit of background, so I had been at Hartford Hospital in a group practice. This was a group neurology practice for 18 years. And then I came to Florida and started up a practice, basically starting from the ground up. So basically built this practice up from nothing that had existed before. So first, the first change really for me is that I originally joined an existing practice, and here I had to start a practice. So really getting to know all the referring physicians in the area, getting to know really the way the system works. This was very new to me. I really knew a very small number of physicians in the area and had a very small number of physicians that I thought might refer patients to me. So just having the whole sort of sea change was different. I guess beyond that, when I was at Hartford Hospital, it's a fairly large tertiary care center. There's many specialists, many departments. We had a comprehensive stroke center. So coming here in Florida, it's much more fragmented, you might say.
Right.
So a lot of small community hospitals. So figuring out how to really bring doctors sort of together to take care of a patient, I think is a lot more challenging here in Florida. I think that's for starters, but there's actually quite a few other differences.
And in your practice, because I alluded to it in the introduction, that neurology is a very broad subject matter. In your practice, what do you treat most often? What is the primary focus of your practice? Or is it general neurology? And maybe explain that to the audience.
Sure. Well, first of all, one of the big changes was just the demographics. So, of course, we have elderly patients everywhere you go, but just the percentages. So just from the very start, you're going to have most of your patients, or certainly at least 50% of your patients, are going to be Medicare patients.
Right.
So I think the kind of practice in terms of the patients you see overall, neurology is neurology. You're just going to see a lot more of certain types of patients. I've always been interested in movement disorders. So I'm very interested in Parkinson's disease, tremors, other conditions. So I was very comfortable being here in Florida, seeing a lot of patients with Parkinson's disease. I've always been interested in cognitive disorders. So seeing patients with memory and cognitive problems and dementia, I was very comfortable doing that. My training, as you went through, actually was in neuromuscular medicine. So that actually was seeing people with neuropathy, myasthenia gravis, and other neuromuscular problems. So I would actually sort of answer your question like this. I would look at myself as being a general neurologist first. I think that's actually very important because when the patient comes to see you, they don't have a diagnosis on their forehead. You have to make the diagnosis. And so if you're sort of a specialist in one area, you may be, let's say, biased into thinking that a person may have this or that. So I think it's very important to have an open mind when you first see the patient. Obviously, go through the elements of making the diagnosis. And having been a sort of very good, I think, general neurologist, and then having other areas where I focused in, such as cognitive disorders, movement disorders, and other areas, I think that's what makes, I think, the neurologist the best neurologist that you can be.
And, of course, you're at ground zero for some of those areas of discipline because 10% of all Parkinson's patients in the United States are here in South or in Florida. And the same can be said of cognitively impaired Alzheimer's disease. 10% of the diagnosed population in the United States is in Florida, so you really are at ground zero. And we do have a much higher demographic, which I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the audience might not know. Here in Florida, we have, as a percentage of the population, a much higher percentage of people over the age of 65 who might come here. But neurology isn't uniquely a practice of the elderly or seniors. It can run the gamut, correct?
It can. I generally don't see kids, but
right.
It'll run the gamut. Of course, migraine tends to occur in younger individuals. A lot of other disorders can occur, multiple sclerosis. Interesting, though, actually you see much less multiple sclerosis in Florida than you would see up north. So there are some shifts.
Really?
So I'm assuming that may have to do somewhat just, number one, MS just tends to present at a younger age, usually between about 20 to 50.
Right.
So if a patient hasn't been diagnosed with MS till the age they come to see me, it's unlikely they're going to present with a new diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
So we didn't really talk about this even in preparation, but I'm interested in it because I've had a few. EMGs, electromyography, that is something that you do a significant amount. I mean, I know it's part of your educational background. Do you do a lot of EMGs? And is there a reason that you do? Do people understand what they are? Or am I going down the wrong path here?
I do EMGs. So as you said, I did a fellowship. It's a one-year fellowship. And then there was a board associated with that. So there's an electrodiagnostic board. And then I took a board more recently. It's actually a board in neuromuscular medicine.
Okay.
I do EMGs every week, but I wouldn't say it's the largest proportion of what
I just
do.
Curious.
So, yeah, I do several EMGs in a week. That would be probably a good summary there.
So let's talk somewhat specifically about your practice. When a new patient comes in, explain to me your process, how much time you spend with them, you know, how do you approach new patients? Because people come to you, they must be very confused, and I would guess scared as well when they come to you. They don't know what their diagnosis may be.
Sure, I think that's an element. Well, for one thing, I like to greet the patient at the door. So that's probably something that's not done at a lot of practices. I've been doing that my entire career, really. So instead of having, let's say, a medical assistant to greet the person, put a bunch of things into the computer, I go and greet the patient and bring them in to the office. Now, for neurologists, I think that serves a few purposes. One, I think it establishes the connection immediately. But not only that, it does get me an opportunity to actually watch the patient. They have to get out of the chair. They have to get into the examination room. They have to sit into the chair. There are things in terms of walking and locomotion. You actually can learn a few things before you really said much to the patient. In terms of how I schedule, the way I do it typically is I'll book an hour for a new patient. So I think that's unusual.
It's a long time,
right? Most people wouldn't do that. So it's probably fairly common, I would think, for most people, 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. An hour is probably quite a bit of time. So, but I think that you never have a second chance to make a first impression. I really look at it that way.
It's one of my favorite expressions.
It's true. Because you have to get it right the first time. If
right.
you screw it up, you're going to be in trouble.
I agree.
So that's why I spend that extra time in the beginning. There's so
right.
much. And I think the patients and the family really appreciate that. It's probably the first time that they've ever had a doctor, let alone a neurologist, spend that much time
right.
With them. People tell me this time and time again, just how much time you spent, how thorough you were.
Right.
The other part of that is that I see a lot of second, third, fourth opinions. That's actually another reason why it actually takes quite a bit of time, because the patient has quite a bit of history. And not surprisingly, the older they are, the more history they have. So you have your average 25-year-old may not have much of a medical history. But you see an 85-year-old, well, they probably do have quite a history. So there's a lot of things to talk about. But I think in terms of the neurology, I never take the neurological diagnosis for granted. So, for example, somebody comes with me, the first thing they tell me, or maybe the family tells me, this is the diagnosis. This is the diagnosis that I've been given. Well, that may be correct, but that may be incorrect. The only way to know that is to start from the beginning.
And from the beginning, we're going to call, if you're just joining us, you've missed the beginning, which is too bad, because I'm here with Dr. David Silvers. Dr. Silvers is, his practice is Gardens Neurology here in Palm Beach Gardens, and we're going to talk a little bit more about his practice, and we're going to talk about neurology in general. If you're just tuning in, you're, of course, listening to Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're glad that you're back. We're glad that you're safe. We know that you survived Hurricane Irma, and we appreciate the fact that you've taken a few minutes out of your day to listen to us. If you have questions for Dr. Silvers, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
Joining us is Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, you guys go above and beyond when it comes to cultural competency training, don't you?
You know, Mike, we really do. For example, 65% of the senior population in Palm Beach County is of the Jewish faith. We've spent an awful lot of time at Comfort Care going through regular Holocaust survivor caregiving. We also have hired a rabbi periodically to train our caregivers on maintaining a traditional kosher home. Everyone that we deal with is different, and they bring a different set of history or a different set of circumstances to the equation. So what we try to do is to make sure that we have caregivers who are trained in whatever it is that is confronting the senior that we're dealing with. We're even beginning to work with some of the Haitian churches to work with our caregivers to make sure that our caregivers understand what our clients need, because by working together, it makes for a better outcome. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will pre-decease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind.
After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God. I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here with Dr. David Silvers of Gardens Neurology. We are talking about neurology in general. And before the break, Dr. Silvers, we were talking about how you interact with new patients and how much time you spend with new patients. The question I wanted to ask you was what prompts people to come to you for the first time? What is it that's going on in their lives or their symptoms that prompts somebody to pick up the phone and call you? Are they, well, obviously they may be referred by their primary care physician, but something's going on that brings them to your office. So what are the kinds of things that people should be looking at?
Well, probably one of the most common has to do with memory or cognition. Memory, or the term memory, is sort of the final common pathway. So there's a lot of things that can affect cognition, but usually people experience that as memory.
Right.
So it may end up being a memory problem. It may be some other problem in personality, behavior, other things. But that's, I think, the way people think about it. When people think of cognition, they think of memory. So I think one of the big things, and it's not difficult to answer until you really spend a lot of time with the patient, is when is a memory problem really a problem? Because I think we all experience some degree of memory difficulty. We can't recall the name of a person that we know or name of a place, things that hopefully we should know. But I think when it starts to be a problem, for sure, if it starts interfering with the ability to do things that you generally would be able to do. So if you're having difficulty actually paying your bills, you're having difficulty shopping, you're having difficulty driving and navigating in a way that was different. So I think that's really the key thing. But certainly Alzheimer's disease generally does begin with a true memory problem. Friends, family will notice a tendency to repeat things over and over. There may be symptoms of disorientation. People can't keep track of the date or the year, or sometimes where exactly they are. There may be good days and bad days. So that also makes it a little bit hard. So I think when it seems to be a problem, when it seems to be interfering with activities of daily living, I think at that point, sure, I think that's a good time to see a neurologist.
So what are some of the signs? I actually do presentations on this all the time, so I know the answer, but I don't think the audience knows the answer. What are kind of the normal aging signs versus the things that should prompt some concern and consideration? Now, I understand at the more extreme level, getting lost, wandering, those kinds of things. But mild cognitive impairment, normal aging, those kinds of things versus the types of things that should bring us in to see you.
Well, I would say the tip of the tongue phenomenon, I know this, I just can't come up with this particular name, is very common, and that is not necessarily indicative of a significant cognitive or memory problem. But when you start having difficulty remembering people you really do know
right.
well,
right.
Things that occur with some regularity, as I said, when it starts to interfere with your ability to function, I think that could be a problem, and that may be the time to see the neurologist.
And with movement disorder, which you said was really, really important to you, what are some of those telltale signs?
One of the things to understand about Parkinson's disease, it's actually the understanding of Parkinson's quite a bit different than it was when I first came out of training. So I think most people are familiar with that Parkinson's disease is a motor disorder, right? So I think most people would be aware you can get a tremor, which is typically a rest tremor. Slowness of movement is the hallmark, and that may take the form of small handwriting or softening of the voice. There may be a shuffling or slowness of the gait or stooping over. That is one of the requirements of Parkinson's disease. And then on examination, the neurologist will often find some stiffness or rigidity. What a lot of people may not know is that there are many non-motor features of Parkinson's disease, and some of these features may present before or well before the onset of the motor disorders. For example, so a very common one is a loss of sense of smell. It's not specific for Parkinson's, but it is quite common. Another one is constipation, again, very common, but that is often seen as a premotor feature. The one I would like to highlight, however, is one that I think that most people are not aware of, and that's a particular form of a sleep disorder, which is called the REM sleep behavior disorder. So the REM sleep behavior disorder is a disorder in which an individual starts to act out their dreams. So as most people are aware, when we're dreaming, when we're in REM sleep, we're essentially paralyzed. We have eye movements, of course, we're breathing, but we're not actively moving.
Oh, that's interesting.
So many, I mean, I see this not every day, but certainly every week, is very, very common. So let's say roughly a third of patients with Parkinson's disease are going to have that history. It's often a history that's sort of poo-pooed, not thought to be terribly important, and often will wax and wane. So in other words, it's not that uncommon for someone to come in with symptoms, the motor symptoms of Parkinson's, but you delve into the history, and yes, they at some point, sometimes years or even decades earlier, were acting out their dreams. For me, as a neurologist, there's an antenna that goes up, which is saying this person may have Parkinson's or at least a relative neurodegenerative condition.
So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. David Silvers. Dr. Silvers is a neurologist at Gardens Neurology, and we're talking so far about movement disorder. We've talked a little bit about Alzheimer's disease and dementia. We're going to talk a lot more about the different kinds of conditions that Dr. Silvers in particular and neurologists in general can work with. And we have a whole lot more for you. If you're just tuning in and it's Monday night, this is, of course, 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We are here every Monday night live from 5 to 6, or actually 5.06 to 6. We rebroadcast on Long Island Wednesday nights and Gainesville also on Wednesday nights, 104.9 in Gainesville, 103.9 FM on Long Island. And then we replay the show on Saturday morning here on 95.9, your new oldie station. If you haven't listened to that station, it's a great station, but don't listen while I'm on. You can listen after we get off the air. Anyway, if you have questions for Dr. Silvers, you can call us. You can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
We're here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a home health agency and not a nurse registry.
That's right, Mike. And if you think the only difference between a home health agency and a nurse registry is price, then you need to speak with us. In addition to our caregivers being licensed, bonded, and insured, as an agency, we are also allowed to train our caregivers, which we do both in-home and field training.
And Allison, that means that your caregivers are actually your employees.
That's right, Mike. All of our caregivers are our employees. They are not 1099 independent contractors, which means that we're responsible for the workers' comp and all of their employment taxes. At Comfort Care, we would never send a caregiver into your home that we wouldn't send into our home. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If it's Monday night, it's 900 a.m., Talk of the Palm Beaches, we're live. Please drive carefully. And if you're listening in Long Island or in Gainesville, we're happy to have you with us. And of course, if it's Saturday morning, we hope you have a great day ahead. I am here tonight with Dr. David Silvers. Dr. Silvers is a neurologist with Gardens Neurology. He is kind enough to be here tonight. Our first guest post-storm, and we're really excited that he is here. So anyway, we're talking about things that neurologists do. We've been focused a little on movement disorder. We've been talking more about Alzheimer's and dementia as well. I want to come back to, because that's the first time I've ever heard this, I want to come back to what we were talking about before the break, which was acting out your dreams. How does that manifest itself again? What are the signs of that? Because you said those are early warning signs of Parkinson's.
Well, it turns out that in Parkinson's disease, there's, let's say, a general movement of the pathology in the brain.
Okay.
So by time it reaches the upper brainstem, that's when you're seeing symptoms such as the ones I was talking about earlier, the tremor, the slowness, the stiffness. However, the disease actually begins in other areas of the brain, in the periphery, as well as in the lower portion of the brainstem. So if you have something going on with the lower portion of the disorder, you may present. So the easiest way to ask the person, really the care, the spouse or somebody sharing the bed, is really just that. Does your husband, your wife act out their dreams. It's usually in the later stages of sleep. They generally will not be getting up and leaving the bedroom. Occasionally, they will propel themselves out of bed. It can, the importance of it is actually twofold. The first is injury. Right. So it's not uncommon for an individual to hurt either themselves or their spouse. So it sometimes can be mild, and there's just some sort of mild movements, but it can be quite aggressive and violent. And there have been many reported injuries, head injuries. You can hit the lamp, the furniture, end up on the floor. You can hit your spouse. Sure. So the most important reason really to pick it up is because it is treatable. It is preventable. There are ways of managing it. And then the other reason, of course, is that it is often a part of a neurodegenerative condition, especially Parkinson's disease.
So that prompts me to ask you a kind of a follow-up question. Is it unusual that people come to you with a sense of what their diagnosis is, or having been diagnosed perhaps by their primary care physician or somebody else, and what they come to you with is not what they have? It's something entirely new. You pick up something entirely new in your initial evaluation or in your more in-depth evaluation. Do people come with you with preconceived ideas that have them going someplace down a road that they shouldn't be going down?
If I had to estimate, and this is purely an estimation, I'm going to estimate that 80 or 90% of people have some feeling as to what they have.
Sure.
There are people that say, yes, I have absolutely no idea what I have. That certainly occurs. But I think that most people in the day of being able to look things up on the internet, most people do have an idea what they have. And that may be correct. It's often incorrect. And as I said before, people come in with diagnoses that sometimes have to be revisited.
Right.
So it's not unheard of to say, you know what, I don't think it's actually this disorder. It may be a different disorder. So I think that's the important of starting from the beginning. Being
thorough. Are they willing to accept that they were wrong? You know, our population, right? Our seniors can be pretty stubborn. All right. Is you know, no, I don't believe you. I have what I thought I came here with. I mean, I have to think that's a bit of a challenge for you at times.
I think you're right. I think the most common scenario is in memory. So the person who has the memory problem may be in some denial about that. The spouse will say, yes, in fact, this is a big problem. And that emphasizes actually the importance of a collateral history.
Right.
So we do have people who usually do come in with somebody else, whether it's their spouse or whether it's their sibling or their son or their daughter. But occasionally you do have people who come in alone.
Right.
And that can be challenging, and you can be misled because you're not really seeing the entire picture.
And so the fact that you spend so much time with a new patient really can help you in that diagnostic, early diagnostic portion of your interaction with this patient, client, because you can avoid going down really wasteful time, energy, money, and a completely incorrect diagnosis.
Yeah, what it's generally said is that the history is 90% of the diagnosis. That
right.
probably does hold true, but that's sort of the dictum. So you should be spending most of your time doing that. But I'd say a very important part of that, however, is the cognitive exam, because that really will substantiate or sometimes refute what you have been told. So you have to really take the whole thing, but I think, again, history trumps.
And I can speak authoritatively to that. Those who are on the radio can't see, but I am in a neck collar, and I am in a neck collar in part because having gone for a different diagnosis, based on my history, we ran an MRI, which was different than the path we were originally going down. And so I had surgery 5 weeks ago and did, you don't care about this, spinal fusion. My people on my radio, spinal fusion, which is why I'm wearing my neck brace. But anyway, if you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, here tonight with Dr. David Silvers. Dr. Silvers is a very well-trained, noted neurologist in practice here at Gardens Neurology. We're going to give you information on how you can reach him if you want to. We're going to do that right after the next break. But in the meantime, if you have questions for Dr. Silvers, you can call us here at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, you're very involved in the senior community, aren't you?
I am, Mike. We try very hard to stay very much ahead of the curve in terms of the things that confront our senior population. As we age, there are so many things that people are unfamiliar with. So I am currently just been installed the president of the Florida State Guardianship Association. I also sit on the advisory council of the Area Agency on Aging, and I'm the treasurer of the Partnership for Aging. All of this is designed to give me access to the leading minds that are dealing with things that confront our seniors every day. It's very important that we stay on top of the issues that our community deals with on a daily basis, because as we age, the need to stay informed becomes ever more important if we're going to deliver the kind of care and service that Comfort Care promises to deliver. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Yes, we're back live after Hurricane Irma and after a few weeks off. I am here, and I'm here with a very passionate, dedicated, and devoted physician. Dr. David Silvers is here. He's a neurologist with Gardens Neurology here in Palm Beach Gardens. We've been talking about a whole host of issues, and we have more. I promise you we have a whole lot more. If you have questions for Dr. Silvers, there is no need to wait, though. You can call us at 877-960-9960. We've been talking about Parkinson's disease. We've been talking about diagnostic tools. We've been talking about early warning signs. We have been talking about a whole host of things that Dr. Silvers does in his practice, but also what neurology in general is all about. There are these things now, Dr. Silvers, called Alzheimer's prevention clinics. Curious, what do you think about those?
Yeah, I think this is it's controversial. It's definitely controversial. There's been some who have made the statement that perhaps a third of Alzheimer's disease is preventable. And not everybody agrees with that statement. So I think it's just a very interesting time. So you have in one corner, which is the biggest corner, you have the traditional neurologist. So if you go to the Academy of Neurology, you just tune in to some talk, you're probably going to hear right now that there are some modest treatments for Alzheimer's disease, but there are a few things we can do that hopefully will translate into reducing risk, but it's a bit limited. There have been a few centers that have cropped up. There's several of these. The first one, I believe, was in New York at Cornell. And using evidence-based medicine, the studies are, let's say, probably not the sort of large randomized controlled trials that most people right. talk about, but smaller trials, observational trials, and coming up with an individualized way of trying to reduce one's risk. So, for example, it tends to attract, I think, individuals have a family history or a strong family history of Alzheimer's disease. And doing a thorough history, doing a lot of laboratory work, and looking at markers. Some of them are genetic markers, some are nutritional markers, inflammatory markers, lipid markers, and trying to come up, not with one, but a handful of things. The thought being this, people, if you ask a neuroscientist, most, but not everybody, feel that the amyloid deposition in the brain is really what starts off the disease, what people refer to as the amyloid cascade right. hypothesis. However, so far, hopefully this will change, but so far amyloid trials have been largely negative, right. unfortunately. The thought is that perhaps there are various factors driving the amyloid to deposit in the brain in the first place, and perhaps there are things that we can do. So just as an example, there may be dietary factors. Most people have heard of the Mediterranean diet, other diets. There may be just ways of changing the way you eat, nutritional factors, etc. That's the concept.
Right. But my experience, because I travel, I never talk about my business on the radio, so I'm not going to be talking about me at all, but because that's not the purpose that you're here for. But in my experience with the world of Alzheimer's, is there is a great need for people to find something to believe in, to find some hope in either prevention or cure or treatment. And as you stated earlier, we both recognize that effective treatment really is not yet there. We all understand that we can slow the progression down, perhaps. Lifestyle can make an impact. So I, for one, would be suspect by a prevention of prevention clinics, because sometimes you get the answer you want, I think. Although, who doesn't want to prevent Alzheimer's, right? There's nobody in the world that doesn't want to prevent Alzheimer's. I mean, everybody wants to find a cure. So I think that's really, really, very, very interesting observations on your part.
No, something I think that we would like to start, again, using evidence-based, right. a lot of it is lifestyle right. Factors. I would call it more of a brain health
right.
way of right. dealing with the body. Will it translate into significant decreases of Alzheimer's disease? Well, we hope so.
Right. Right. I think that's really interesting. And I can't wait to talk more about that. You know, I want to talk about neurofeedback, and I'm going to, I promise. But before I do that, one of the things I know that you you're pretty vocal about and proud of it, is that you have a nurse practitioner in your office. And I think people don't fully understand what a nurse practitioner does, what their, what their role is. And is that a way for you to spend less time with a patient than more time? So talk to me about the nurse practitioner in your practice and nurse practitioners in general in helping physicians like yourself do a better job.
Well, first, I think there's been an explosion for the need for nurse practitioners, but I think the way a physician neurologist uses a nurse practitioner is going to be variable depending upon the practice. I'll tell you the way I use a nurse practitioner. The first thing I said to her and the first thing I would tell you is that I'm not looking for someone to replace myself. Right. Okay. The idea is to come up with a complementary person. In other words, a person who does some things that I don't do, a person that does something maybe that does better than I do. So I'm still doing exactly what I do. I see all the new patients. I see follow-ups. It's not really changing the way I practice medicine, but we're trying to offer some things to patients who have needs that at the present moment are not being met. So, for example, meeting with patients and families, offering care plans, trying to make sure that their life is safe, that they're in the right place, that they've had their living will, things that I know you talk about in your book, right. but someone who has the time and the know-how about how to do that kind of thing. I think that's one use. Another use is that we get quite a few calls over the course of a week from families that are just overwhelmed about their demented loved one. Very difficult for a solo neurologist to get every one of these individuals in the same day or very promptly. That's hard to do. So what happens? These are patients that end up in the emergency room. That's not a good place for the patient to be. So we're trying to do this, and now I can get patients in very quickly to see the nurse practitioner.
That's that's terrific. By the way, if there's somebody listening who'd like to reach out to you, how can they find you? What's the best way?
Well, we have a telephone number.
That's a good start. That's a good start.
So our telephone number is 561-799-2831. Again, 561-799-2831. We do have a website as well. That's gardensneurology.com, gardensneurology.com. So I guess those are two easy ways to reach.
So I have to say, in all sincerity, I'm not blowing smoke because I see a lot of websites of a lot of different medical practices. Your website's really terrific, and I say that with all candor. I learned a lot more about you and your practice on your website than I do from most websites that I go to. So I don't know who did your website, but that's terrific.
I will tell you who did not do the website. And
you. Well, on my website, we can say the same thing. By the way, if you just tuned in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday night live on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We rebroadcast on Long Island at 103.9 FM, Long Island's Talk Radio, on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. We rebroadcast in Gainesville at 104.9, Gainesville's talk radio station, at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. And we rebroadcast at 95.9, your oldie station here in Palm Beach, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. We're glad that you're here. Wherever you're listening, we value your time. If you listen live, you can always call us. If you don't, you can send me questions, and I'll make sure that my guests get those questions and respond. If you've tuned in late and you're sorry you did because you thought what you heard so far was really interesting, the good news is we podcast. We will have this up on podcast tomorrow. You just have to search OMG I Am Getting, and up we will pop. We also put it up on my website, www.palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfort Care, ComfortCare. Don't put a T in there. There's no reason for you to do that. You'll never find us. Good news, wherever you are, even if you don't have a radio handy, you do have a smartphone. I know you have a smartphone. Only smart people listen to this show. You can download a free app called TuneIn Radio, and you can set a reminder for wherever you listen to us for that to come on. And, of course, we do simulcast, www.900thetalk.com. Next week, I have a very, very interesting show. I'm going to talk about trauma, not the kind of trauma that's a car accident on 95. I'm going to talk about PTSD. I'm going to talk about sexual abuse. I'm going to talk about marriage and divorce. I'm going to talk about the kinds of trauma that are very, very important for you to deal with. Those types of trauma are family trauma. It's not just the trauma to the individual. Many people are affected. And so the family caregiving component part of that is critical to the healing of whatever it is going on. Two guests next week, Dr. David Levy, who is a family caregiving expert. He's been on the show before. He's a good friend. He's one of the smartest people I ever met in the world of family caregiving. I encourage you to be here. And Paul Vadiato, who is the president of a company called Avise, which focuses on this issue. They are wonderful. You're not going to want to miss this show. I have a very special show in 2 weeks, but I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to tease you and tell you to hang in there because we're going to be talking about something I've never talked about before, and it is really, really interesting. But I still have a little bit of time with my guest tonight, Dr. David Silvers. Dr. Silvers is a neurologist with Gardens Neurology here in Palm Beach Gardens, and we're going to give you his number again if you missed it the first time before the show is over, so get a pencil handy. You know, I know one of the things that you're really interested in that we didn't talk at all about is neurofeedback. So can we talk a little bit about that in the little time we have left?
Sure. I have to tell you, one of the advantages of being a solo neurologist is you can decide to do what you want to do.
Right.
I actually didn't know much about neurofeedback until several months ago. So it's something that I had heard about and heard that it could be something to help patients and said, well, let me learn a little bit more about it. So it's not traditional neurology. You probably don't see too many neurologists who are actually doing neurofeedback. But first I had to learn about it and learn if it's something that's scientifically sound. So I did do quite a bit of reading, and it really is, as science, sort of sci-fi as it might sound, right. It really is. And it has to do with the idea that you do a brain mapping. Okay,
right.
So you base like an EEG, a little different, it's quantitative, but it looks at brain waves in terms of various factors, such as quantitation, such as symmetries, other factors, and trying to correlate any deviations from the norm that might have something to do with the patient's symptoms, whether they be often used for, let's say, attention deficit disorder, anxiety, depression, other factors as well. And then trying through a process that's basically neuroplasticity to try to move those brain waves in the direction that you want to do, which is typically by having electrodes on the scalp and watching a movie or listening to music. And you can read about this in Nature and scientific journals. So I'm excited to try to offer this to patients as a non-pharmacological modality to try to treat things. And again, you can use this with medications, but we're going to try it out. I think it definitely has a lot of potential.
It's really fascinating. I don't know much about it myself, and I'd love to learn more. Maybe if I could talk you into coming back someday, we can spend more time on it.
I'd love to.
Because it's really interesting, and you'll have a better history at that period of time, or more history at that period of time.
Sure.
To talk about its efficacy. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about a whole host of things. We didn't talk about MS. We didn't really talk about migraines. We didn't talk about other disorders of the spinal cord. All of those, however, are things that you in particular, but neurologists in general, do work on. And so neurology is not exclusively a practice of movement disorder and or Alzheimer's and dementia, is that true?
No, it's not. As you said, there's many things that you see as a neurologist.
Yeah. So why don't we, if people want to learn more about you, come and see you, come talk to you, let's give them the information on how they can get to you again.
I will repeat that. The telephone number is 561-799-2831. Again, 561-799-2831. And the website is gardensneurology.com. That's gardensneurology.com.
And this is Dr. David Silvers who is speaking, and actually this is Scott Greenberg who's speaking. That was Dr. David Silvers who was speaking. If you're new to the show, this is Scott Greenberg, and we do a show called Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents, the sandwich generation on steroids. We have a lot of things that we confront every day, and sometimes the challenges are more than we can bear. We work really hard to bring you different topics each and every week that hopefully will broaden your horizon, give you a new way of looking at things. Sometimes we have a lot of fun. Sometimes we're more serious. Tonight we talked pretty seriously and had fun, so you can't really beat that. My guest tonight was Dr. David Silvers. He's a terrific guest. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You did a really, really good job. Again, we're here Monday nights live, 5 o'clock on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We're on 103.9 FM on Long Island Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock, 104.9 Gainesville's Talk Radio Station, 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, and back here again Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock on 8 o'clock on 95.9, your new oldie station. We're glad that you're with us. We're glad that you survived Irma. We couldn't be happier and more grateful for the wonderful work of our first responders. I look forward to you being back here next week when my guests will be Dr. David Levy and Paul Vadiato talking about trauma. Thank you all. Have a very good night. We'll see you next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom.